Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Office Hours. It's Tuesday, right? Gosh, it's been, had a lot going on this week. Still trying to figure out the days of the week after a great, awesome, amazing retreat weekend. Hi, Trish. So here's how this works for anyone new to Office Hours. You do not need an appointment. All you need to do is raise your hand. You can do that on the menu at the bottom of your Zoom screen. Once you raise your hand, I will call on you and promote you to panelist, which means you will come on screen with me and we'll talk and coach for a minute, and then we'll move on to the next person. So I'm here for 2 hours. I'm here until 8 o'clock Central Time. I'll give you a warning about 15, 20 minutes out that how many people will be in line next, and we'll just keep on going until then. So one person has raised their hand. You guys can raise your hand at any time. Zoom actually puts you in order so that I can see who's next. So Maggie, you are up. Let me promote you up here. Looks like Zoom is a little stuck. Give us a minute. Maggie, what happened to you? Did you go away? Raise your hand again. I have lost Maggie. All right, Maggie, if you're around. Oh, there you are. Zoom is crazy, I tell you. All right, there you are. Can you hear me? I can't hear you, Maggie. Do you have your mute on? Talk away. Man, I can't hear you. Can you hear me? Nod or yes or no? You can hear me. Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. Unless you have an idea of what's going on. Are you on a computer? Check your volume on your computer or your microphone on your computer. Okay, Maggie, while you work on this, I'm going to take you back to attendee. I want you to raise your hand back up, okay? And I'll take you that next. You go ahead and work on it, and I'll take you next. But I need you to raise your hand again so that you don't get out of order. Tammy, you're up.
Oh, boy.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you at Lowe's?
Pardon me?
Where are you? You're at a store.
I am. I'm at work. So I'm really hoping I can complete this. So I was a little hesitant on joining in.
Okay. What's up?
I decided to give it a go since last night I had a little self-sabotage moment.
Okay.
It was my only day off, and I've noticed, thanks to listening to you wonderful ladies about doing the planning and the TDLs and all the data,
mm-hmm.
that I am choosing to grab ass horrible food such as candy when my day doesn't go perfectly.
Okay.
And
so why do you do that?
I guess I just feel frustrated with how the day went and get an F it moment. And I try and talk myself out of it. And I'm like, I just can't seem to break that habit. Thankfully, it doesn't happen too often, but.
Okay, so do you do a recovery worksheet?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Tell me what that looks like.
Lots of fat girl thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I know better. Mm-hmm. I oh boy.
Do you fill out comes. The part? Do you fill out the here? Do you fill out the part where they say where you at, talk about what you'll do next time?
I have in the past. I'm not sure if I did on this most recent one. Sorry, there were people at my door. I'm like, don't come in yet.
That's honestly probably, in my mind, the most important question. Okay? Because we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to overeat. We're all going to dive in the candy bowl because in that moment, it feels like it's going to fix things when we know logically it's not going to, right?
Right.
So going ahead and planning and visualizing how to find a little relief in a different way, whether it's by thinking something different or by taking a walk or by creating some other feeling or by even just sitting with the urge or an acknowledging that, you know what, I have an urge to eat right now and I know this isn't going to fix it. Going that next step and looking at what caused it and how you would do it differently is going to be so key to changing your response to stress or frustration. Okay? So I like to tell people that visualizing, and this is true, anything you visualize is practice for your brain because your brain doesn't understand that you haven't actually done it. Okay, so let's say you get stressed out. Instead of you seeing yourself eat out of the candy bowl, maybe you watch yourself, you create this vision in your mind of yourself walking by the candy bowl, looking at it and saying, that's not going to help, I'm taking a walk instead. And then you go take your walk in your mind. Your brain thinks you've already done that. Your brain thinks it's learning a new way to handle the frustration or the stress. So when you fill out that recovery worksheet, make sure you go all the way to the end and make a plan for how you'll handle the next time.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Previous, yes.
Uh-huh.
Previous times I've actually just gave up and gone to the gym or, like you said, walk out the door and go for a walk and think about it. But
when you've had the urge to eat, that's what you've done?
When it's something bad, something that's not on my plan for the day, or I try and stay away from sugary treats and things like that now. But
so when you do that, when you go to the gym or you go for a walk, how do you feel?
Much better.
Much better.
Like it's a more productive use of my time.
Yeah. Do you resolve whatever frustrated you when you're at the gym or doing the walk or what do you do with
it? Usually. And if it doesn't, then I do a TDL. But yeah, last night it was crunch time. The whole reason I had M&Ms was for my friend's baby shower, and I'd fill this piggy bank full of the M&Ms and count them. And
oh, that's kind of cute.
So it was 70 M&Ms into the piggy bank, 5 into my mouth.
Right. Well, you know, when you eat as in a response to emotions, you're not resolving the emotion. You're just distracting from it. So going for a walk and thinking it through, or going to the gym and thinking it through, is always going to be a better resolution to whatever is frustrating you. Because eating or turning on the TV or, you know, doing something to distract yourself, it doesn't create an opportunity to resolve. Right?
Yes. It sounds so clear and logical when it comes from you.
Well, it's easy to be clear and logical in a clear and logical moment. That's when it's up to you, when you feel that frustration and stress, to call on the clear and logical part of your brain. Okay, rather than that reactionary part that's screaming at you to go get the M&Ms. That's when you have to say, you talk back to it. No, I'm going to think through this for a minute because this is not, you know, eating the M&Ms is not going to help this. So that it's a decision point. You know, that's when you make a decision whether or not to eat the M&Ms or go for a walk. It's very empowering when you think about it that way, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here comes a big crowd, so thank you so much.
I hope that was
helpful. I appreciate your time.
All right.
Yes, it was.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. I hope Maggie is back. Oh, good. Maggie is back. Hi.
Hello.
Oh, yay. Okay.
I just ended up doing it on my phone.
That's fine. That's fine. I can hear you just fine.
Awesome. The computer's in the living room, so you don't have to hear Mickey.
Mickey?
Mickey Mouse.
Oh, okay.
Good. Yeah.
What
I wanted to talk about, I guess, is I'm just having a really hard time, like, mostly with everything. So, long story short, I have two little kids. I work full time, full time plus. My husband travels. My kids are, so my oldest is medically complicated and on the spectrum. So that adds its own challenges. And, we're pretty involved in, he has to be kind of over, we watch him all the time, more, we have to be more involved. Like, things don't come naturally for him. So, we don't sleep. None of us sleep ever. So that
sounds terrible.
Yeah, we're going up on 6 years with two nights of sleeping through the night.
You do sleep. Be careful how you talk to yourself. You do sleep. It's just interrupted most nights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I was doing my plans at work.
Okay.
But now I work in a completely open work environment. So, I basically work at a table with no cube walls or anything. So it's a little bit harder. Not that I don't feel comfortable, it's just a little bit harder to do when, everybody in the world can see everything you're doing.
Why is that a problem?
I feel like, I don't know if it's more just like me being kind of self-conscious about it, or
this is me nodding.
Yes. So I guess I can just start doing that. I mean, I don't know if I should start doing it in the evening for the next day, or because I had been doing it kind of in the morning, but then that's already, two or 3 hours or 4 hours that we've already been up.
You know when you should do it? When you're sure you're going to do it.
Okay.
Okay. You pick the time when you're sure you will get it done is the right time to do it. And if it's sitting out in the open and open work environment, that's when it is. If it's right before you go to bed at night, that's when it is. It's whenever you are sure you will get it done. And I would do it the same time of day every day. It's like setting an appointment with yourself. Okay. And I know you've got kids and you've got a husband and you've got a job and all that kind of stuff. How long does it take to make a plan?
Not too long.
Like maybe 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where was it? I was seeing somewhere today or yesterday. I've been with Corinne and Betsy the past couple of days. And I saw a note Corinne was going to teach about the 24-hour plan, where I think the note was, if it takes longer than 3 minutes, you're taking too long. It's just making, 3 or 4 decisions. Most of which you probably already thought about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do have, I have a plan for everything every day. Every second of every day of my life is planned out. And the eating is included in that. I guess the part, now that we've kind of gotten over, actually writing it down, I pretty much convinced myself, and I feel this too, that I have to do the no sugar, no flour. And part of that is I've done an elimination diet before. When I was nursing Colton, he had every allergy under the sun. But so I know I can do it. It's just today. So I planned chicken, making chicken. Then I ate a sandwich because, I didn't get home till 6:30. And by that time, the kids have already been screaming for an hour. So
why do you think you have to do no sugar, no flour?
I just feel like that's the only way I can lose weight. I mean, I feel like,
What if I were to tell you, you can lose weight without going on no sugar, no flour? Cause you know why? Cause you're not doing it now.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not realistic for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you really, when did you join, Maggie? January?
September.
September. And have you lost any weight since September?
No.
Okay.
I had lost a good bit of weight. And then when, and well, I think part of my thing is, like, I don't understand. Like, we went to Chicago and I didn't even really eat. Like, I'd set up my, you know, I wasn't going to eat any candy in the car, no car snacks, stuff like that. And I stuck to that. I mean, the other times I didn't always eat the best, but I shouldn't have gained back like 9 pounds. And I thought it was just going to go away again, but it just never did.
Okay. So one trip to Chicago is not losing weight for since September. Okay. Are you, when you create your plans, are you sticking to them?
No.
Are you following your hunger scale?
No, I have no idea. I'm hungry all the time. I think about food all the time.
Okay.
I eat at my desk and I was going to stop eating at my desk, but that's hard. I work at Krispy Kreme.
Okay.
So I have like, I feel like, so part of my thing is like, I don't want to restrict or like, I don't want to give up anything because my life is already too hard.
All right. So the no sugar, no flour is not an option on the table right now.
Okay.
Because that's, I mean, honestly, you work at Krispy Kreme, you ate a sandwich for dinner. Why would you even think no sugar, no flour is something that's doable for you right now?
I don't.
Yeah.
I also don't want to
restrict. That's the other thing. I don't want to restrict, but I want to do no sugar, no flour. No, girl.
I mean, it's like something that's wrong in my head because.
No, nothing wrong in your head. You're just looking for answers. Don't tell yourself there's something wrong in your head.
I've always done this. Like when Colton was in the hospital, I was like, oh, let me sign up for the Marine Corps Marathon. And Colton was in the hospital. Like he had you know, at one point we didn't know if he was going to have like serious problems for life. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't understand why I do this kind of thing.
You were distracting. You were just distracting from the uncomfortable feelings.
I do that a lot.
Well, that's probably why you overeat. You probably are distracting yourself from being uncomfortable, whether it's, you know, because you have 2 kids at home and a job and a husband that travels or something else. You're distracting with eating. Okay. So what you're going to have to do is learn how to deal with whatever is coming up for you that you're wanting to distract from. It's interesting that you said, I'm always hungry. You are probably always emotionally hungry. And if you have worked through no BS, you know the difference between emotional hunger and physical hunger, right? Which yeah. is wanting to, emotional hunger is wanting to eat in reaction to an emotion, basically distracting yourself from feeling. And physical hunger is eating in response to physical cues, like a stomach growl or an empty stomach feeling or something like that. So when you say you're always hungry, you're probably not always physically hungry. So for you, you're going to have to separate the two of those. Recognize when you have physical hunger symptoms rather than emotional hunger. Yes? No? Thoughts?
No, yes. I mean, that's kind of the thing like with snacks. So I eat at my desk. So I think I can go without having snacks, especially like today. I was fine. And then all of a sudden it's 11 o'clock. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to lunch at 12. I had a lunch meeting. So I know I'm eating at 12. And I was like, okay, I'm fine to go until 12. And then I ate all of my snacks that I had between 11 and 12.
Why did you do that?
I don't, I mean,
lunch.
Oh, yeah. I ate lunch, and I ate what I was going to eat at lunch. I ended up eating a cheeseburger with French fries.
So what were you thinking and feeling at lunchtime?
I guess I just been like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like a large part of it is I really like lack the self-confidence at work.
Now I'll go back to lunchtime with the cheeseburger. Tell me what you were thinking and feeling at lunch.
Well, the whole time I was like, okay, I'm just going to get what I planned. And then we had to go up to like make the decision. And then the person that I was with lunch offered to pay. And I was like, well, if he's going to pay, then I'm not going to make it all complicated and everything, which it probably.
I'll throw myself on the sword so it's nice and easy for the guy who pays for me to give me a cheeseburger.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it was. Like, I'm not going to be complicated if it's going to, even though I, like, walked in, I looked at the menu, recommitted to what I was going to get.
Tell me what your complicated menu item was.
Oh, it was just grilled chicken, like the grilled chicken sandwich without a bun.
Oh,
so it was like subbing the chicken for the burger
and then, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to get broccoli as my side, which is actually like their broccoli is like amazing. The person that sits next to me eats it every single day. Mm-hmm. And the guy was like, okay, chips or French fries. And I was like,
so why do you really think you subbed it out? Were you worried about what he was think? Would he think about what you were eating?
I guess. I mean, that's kind of what. I mean, everybody always kinds of like. I'm kind of a picky eater. I mean, not really picky, but I don't like sauces. So everybody always gives me a hard time. Like my family gives me a hard time because I don't like sauces. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it probably wouldn't have made any difference one way or another.
Right. In retrospect, you're right. It wouldn't have. But here's the trend I'm seeing. You don't want to do your plan in front of other people. And you want to eat what you think will be the easiest non-judgment thing for you to eat.
Yes.
So are you concerned about what other people are thinking about you and your food?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Yeah. So why do you think that is?
I think, you know, it's just been a long time of like, I mean, other than the fact that I'm usually like the butt of my family's jokes about things that are like completely, because I tend to get really excited about things. Like I'm working on a project now. My boss laughs at me all the time because he's like, this is the dullest project ever, but you are so excited about it. And so people kind of like, I don't look like somebody who should be where I'm at or something like that. Like okay. I was at this big meeting the other day, and the presenter is basically like the same. She and I have the same title, and I was like, look at, you know, she's thin and she has like runner's calves and all that stuff. And she's eating tuna for lunch. And like, she really owns this because she looks so nice. Mm-hmm. And I felt like all day today, I felt so uncomfortable. I felt like my clothes didn't look good or like, you know, I mean, I think I posted about this in the tribe, like I'm getting ready to start this really good new job. And all I can think about is what clothes I'm going to wear.
So you're in self-judgment over a lot of things. You're judging.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're. The reason you're worried about what other people are thinking is because you're concerned about yourself. You're worried someone else is going to see you planning because you're worried about what you're planning. You're worried about what someone else is going to see you eating because you don't want them to think something about you. Same thing with your clothes. Same thing with your job. You're always worried about what other people are thinking. And it's because you're uncomfortable with yourself. Okay. This is called the mirror. All right. You look in the mirror, you don't like what you see. So you assume everyone else is seeing the same thing. All right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Look in the mirror. And I'm not talking literally looking in the mirror going, you know, I'm talking about what you see in yourself, what you judge yourself for, you assume everyone else is judging you for.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that's true?
I don't know.
Right. Exactly. You don't know what other people are thinking. I bet if you had gone and ordered that grilled chicken and broccoli, nobody would have said a word about it or thought a thing about it. And if they had thought about it, they might have thought, well, look at Maggie. That grilled chicken looks pretty good. And I've heard that broccoli is amazing. You made a great choice for lunch today. But you don't know. Okay. You didn't give yourself an opportunity to be proud of what you picked. And you didn't give them an opportunity to think independently. Same thing about your clothes and your job and your planning. If you sat down at that table with that, is it the PMP planner? You have the big blue?
Yes.
Sat down at that and somebody said, what are you doing, Maggie? And you explained 24-hour plan to them. What do you think their response would be?
They would probably be like, that makes perfect sense coming from you.
Yeah. But you're not giving these people an opportunity to think independently. You've already decided what they're thinking. So what you're doing is creating, you know, your own self-judgment because you're worried about what other people are thinking. Okay. Try and drop. I'm acting like Corinne. Drop the story about what other people are thinking and do what you know is best. Create your 24-hour plan when you know you're going to create it, even if it's in the middle of the front yard at 8 o'clock at night, or in the middle of the work table, or before you go to bed, create your plan, create it realistically, and then follow through and don't let your mind change because you're worried about someone else, what someone else is thinking. Don't change your, you know, worry more about what you're thinking. You know, when you're going to see these thoughts fly by, they're going to think I look bad in my clothes. And then you're going to have to say, it doesn't matter what they think. I don't have any control over what they think. Did you just get a promotion at work?
Well, I got a better job.
A better job. Okay. So what do you think the person that gave you that better job thinks? You think they're worried about chicken and broccoli or cheeseburger and a french fry? Or you think they're worried about how well Maggie does her job?
Yeah, definitely about how well I do it.
Yeah. You think they're worried about whether or not your clothes look good, or you think they're worried about how Maggie does her job?
I guess the back of my mind, it's like, but it does matter. I mean, your appearance and all that stuff, it matters to a point, but I mean, obviously it hasn't mattered up to this point, or it's just,
it matters to you.
Yeah.
You don't know if it matters to anybody else.
That's true.
I was a rock star at my job with the state of Tennessee. Okay. I was really good at it. I helped create it. I developed it. I was really, really good at it. And, you know, I just left it a few weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. I was really good at it at 230 pounds, and I was really good at it at 150 pounds. My weight didn't have anything to do with how good I was at my job. And my boss needed me to show up as my best self, and it didn't matter to him how much I weighed. When I had to go over to the legislature to defend the budget for the public defenders in Tennessee, I put on the best clothes I had, and I went and I defended the budget. And that's all they expected of me. They didn't care what I had for lunch. They didn't care what, you know, they cared what clothes I had on. I didn't need to go over there in blue jeans, but they didn't,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, they knew that I put on the best clothes that I had. They didn't care if I made a plan in the middle of the office or if I made my plan at night. It just didn't matter. What mattered was how I showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that help?
Mm-hmm. It helps a lot.
We took care of making a plan. We took care of self-judgment. What else do we need to take care of anything else?
No, I think that's good.
Yeah. Make a plan you can execute. Make a plan that you know you're going to follow.
Okay.
You know, that whole realistic plan thing we've been talking about. It's essential, okay? Because you need to practice executing your plan and being successful.
Okay.
Then you decide what you want to level up at some other point.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm so glad you got your phone.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Becky, my friend Becky wants to talk. Hi.
Hey.
How are you, Becky?
I'm okay. Long day, so exhausted. Finally sat down. Mm-hmm. I'm having a problem when I see naturally thin people. And I'm not sure exactly how to handle it. It just makes me so sad that I didn't start my journey earlier. And that I let myself go as far as I did. I mean, I'm very proud of how far I've came.
How much weight have you lost?
Huh?
How much weight have you lost?
90.
And are you at maintenance?
No.
How close are you to maintenance?
About 15 more.
Okay.
Well, 13 will put me at the top end of my 10-pound zone.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just every time I see a naturally thin person, I'm just like pissed at myself.
What does naturally thin mean?
I don't know. I see them at the gym because that's really the only place I go since I work from home. So, I mean, they're just these people that you can tell have never had a weight problem.
You can tell that?
Well, and sometimes.
If you looked at me, could you tell I'd ever had a weight problem?
No, I guess not.
Okay. What about Corinne? Or Betsy?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So keep going.
Well, I mean, it did dawn on me in October when I was sitting in the hotel room and I'm trying to figure out as people walked in who was there for camp and who wasn't. And it did surprise me. But just still, you know, when I see all these thin people, it makes me upset that I didn't start my journey sooner.
Why?
Because if I would have started it, I don't know, I would have started it at 200 instead of 250, it would have been a hell of a lot easier, I think.
Okay. Had you ever tried to lose weight before?
Yeah, I lost it with Jenny Craig. Mm-hmm. I lost a lot, but then they didn't teach me about what to do for my mind.
So those obviously weren't successful the other times, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So tell me what benefit having regret over the timing of your weight loss gives you. Because everything we do has some sort of benefit. So what benefit are you seeing?
Regret, I think, and maybe it'll help me, you know, keep my mind on the path, keep going forward, you know, because I don't want to start doing it again when I'm 50 and don't want to gain all the weight back.
We're going to do a model.
Oh, damn it.
How old are you?
45.
45 years. What's your thought about your weight loss after 45 years?
I do feel that this time.
I should have started earlier, maybe?
Yeah, I wish I would have started earlier. Because this is my final time.
I wish I had started earlier. And the feeling?
Regret that I didn't start earlier.
All right. When you regret that thought, what actions?
What actions? I really don't take actions. I might push myself harder in the gym. I mean, I don't come home
and
push
yourself harder out of regret.
Well, it motivates me too. You know, because I'm regretful that I didn't start earlier, but grateful that I started when I did.
That's another model. Stay in this model. When you regret something, you beat yourself up over it.
Yeah. I mean, mean girl comes out and just points out that my body's not shaped like hers and that,
you compare.
Yeah, I have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, I pretty much compare. I don't come home and eat or anything over it. So
in action,
just beating myself up.
Mm-hmm. In action and beating yourself up and comparing because you wish you'd started earlier results in what?
I'm not looking at how far I've come.
Right. Not seeing progress. Okay, so there's your model. There it is. Kind of stinks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me what good comes out of regretting anything.
What?
All right, it's a trick question. Nothing ever good.
Yeah, I know.
Comes out of regretting anything. So what can you do about those first 45 years now? The answer is nothing. They're right. Years in line. The first 45 years. Right?
Yeah.
That's the C line. You can't do anything. Trying to straighten it up. There's nothing to do except choose your thought about them. Because your thoughts are today.
Yeah.
That first 45 years is done.
Right.
So how do you want to feel about year 65? Good grief, where'd that come from? How do you want to feel about year 66?
Year 66, so in
46.
I'm like, how old am I? Gosh,
I don't know. How do you want to feel about year 46?
I mean, this crap is bleach blonde. are you there? There you go.
Yeah.
How do I want to feel about it? I want to feel alive.
Alive. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do?
To feel alive? What do I do?
What do you do? Not to feel alive. When you feel alive, what do you do?
I'm exercising. Outgoing. Yeah, I'm outgoing. I'm out doing things. I'm not couch surfing unless it's at the end of the day, you know. I'm not afraid to step out and try new things.
What else?
Well, that's pretty much it, you know.
Well, do you are you nice to yourself? Do you have, you know, do you exercise? Yeah. Do you enjoy life? You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Enjoy life is kind of like, more like the result. Let's put that. So what thought makes you feel alive, Becky?
I can do this.
Mm-hmm. I have done this. Look at the amazing things I've done. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at my amazing year. Okay, because we're talking about year 46. Everybody look at my amazing year. I feel alive. I do all these things and I enjoy life. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Brooke Castillo on a podcast say one time, you know, when you know things happened at the right time.
Are you asking me, or is this a rhetorical question?
The answer is because that's when they happened. Okay. You lost that weight before, but it didn't stick for whatever reason. You've lost it now and you know it's going to stick. The first 45 years brought you to this point. If you had lost all that weight with Jen Craig and you'd kept it off, you never would have found us. You wouldn't have found me or Corinne or the tribe. Right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have done the mental work. You wouldn't be self-improving all the time, which I'm sure you're doing because I know you. Right?
Yeah.
So maybe your first 45 years were essential to bring you to the point where you are now. Just offering that. You can believe that or not. You can think about it. You can TDL on it. The point I want you to hear is that regret doesn't help anything. And those first 45 are done. And I know this. I was 47 when I started losing weight. And I went through a time period where I was like, I might not have torn up my knees if I hadn't waited this long. My kids might not have been embarrassed about me if I hadn't waited this long. You know, I gave them all kinds of thoughts. I could have gone on and on. But then you know what? If I hadn't waited until I was 47, met Corinne, lost my weight, I wouldn't be coaching right now. I wouldn't be talking to you. I wouldn't be helping other women. There's a lot of things I wouldn't have done. So maybe it all happened at exactly the right time.
Yeah. I think this year I found my calm.
Yeah.
And so many friends, and, you know, David and I can actually look toward our future now. And, you know, you helped me get through Veronica turning 18. So the whole bit. Mm-hmm.
So maybe it all happened at the right time. I think that's what I would do. I think your work is making a list. I want you to make a list of, I don't know, let's say 20 reasons. Now is the right time for you. Your 45 years, 40, year 46 is the right time for you to hit maintenance.
Well, I better be hitting maintenance before I turn 46, but...
Yeah, but you're in year 40. If you're 45 years old, you're in year 46 now. Look, that's a really...
Okay, there's my accountant thing, but...
That's a really great thought when you turn 49, because then you're in your 50th year.
Oh, geez. All right, so I'll hit maintenance before my birthday, so... And before... That's before April camp, so...
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's my plan. It's the year of the Phoenix.
Yes, ma'am. It certainly is. You know what? I bet you wouldn't have even come up with the year of the Phoenix if you'd lost weight before now.
Wouldn't have known about Phoenix.
Right.
Oh.
So make your list. 20 reasons why now is exactly the right time for you to hit maintenance and stay there.
The hit maintenance, I thought it was why year 46 was going to be awesome. All right. I'll do it.
Isn't that the same thing? Hitting maintenance is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, but... So 46, or 20 things. Oh, God, don't add to it. 20 things about why this year, why hitting maintenance this year is going to be awesome.
No, why it was the right time.
Why the right time? Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
I can do it. I can do it.
I know you can. I know you can.
All right.
I'll
give me a week and I'll post it.
A week?
I'm not to say busy, a productive girl.
Yeah, so am I. And I could do that in an hour.
I'll think of it, but...
You have 24 hours. I'm going to give you a whole day to come up with 20 reasons, and that's very generous. You think Corinne would give you a whole day? She'd say, no, by the end of this call, you better be back on here because we're going to talk about it.
Are you kidding? It took me like an hour and a half to come up with three things I liked about my butt. Oh, my gosh. All right.
You got it.
24 hours. I can do it.
Yes, ma'am. You can.
All right.
You can do all kinds of cool stuff. I have every bit of faith in you.
All right.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
All right. I need a hand, y'all. I need somebody to coach. Jane. Yay. See what Jane's got. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you have a funny sound though. What's up?
I don't know. Maybe I better close my balcony. It might be the wind. Just a second. Sorry about that. I don't know if that's any better.
Yes, that is better.
Okay. I'm lucky enough to be living at the ocean right now. So.
Oh. Rub it in, Jane.
Anyway, I'm going to be from JFBA.
Okay, I'm having trouble understanding you. Say that again.
I'm a baby from JFBA.
Okay.
And I wanted to run through a model I did on the channels this week.
All right, I'm really having a hard time understanding you.
Okay, it might be my microphone. I've never used it before. So that's okay. I'll have to figure out how my microphone works
for
another time.
Are you on computer or on your phone?
I'm on my computer.
Do you have a phone that you can call into the Zoom with? That might be easier.
No, I don't have a phone, so that's okay.
It sounds like your mic is either not turned on or it's covered up. Could it be covered up on your computer? Do you have something laying on?
Honestly, I don't need to know. That's why I'm so little reluctant to put my hand up. So that's okay. Another time I'll try.
Okay. Put your question in the Q&A.
Okay. Well, okay. It was how I was doing the model, and because I was new, I thought I'd go through it, but that's okay.
I would love to help you, but I'm having a really hard time understanding you. All right, so put your question in the Q&A, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay. Anybody else? Who else would like to talk? Somebody raise your hand. Let's see what's going on over here in the chat. Wish I had discovered when I was 45, I'm 67. You get the same assignment. I don't even know who R.H. Rhonda. Same assignment for you. Why is now the exact right time you are losing your weight? All right. I have a hand over here. Let's see. What is going on with Zoom? Hang on. Well, I've got somebody with their hand raised. There it is, Wendy. Hang on. Good grief. Zoom is acting crazy. I'm trying to get you, Wendy. Here we go.
Do you have me?
I have you. I don't have your face.
I don't know why I can't do this. This is not the first time this has happened for me, so I'm doing something wrong here.
Yeah, your camera is either covered up or you have it turned off.
Okay. Well, can I just kind of talk to you then?
Sure.
Okay. So I've been in the tribe since last May, and over the summer I had a big back surgery, and it's been kind of a traumatic series of events. Unfortunately, it wasn't something I had a choice in, as I had a back surgery from before that had failed and I had broken hardware. So it wasn't an option. It had to be done.
Sure.
Well, that was tough enough. but the week before I had surgery, we were horsing around in the lake and a kid came down the slide and I wasn't paying close enough attention and injured my knee at the same time. So I'm having a couple of compromising physical things. I was in a body cast for 2 months after my back surgery and I was able to do a lot of walking then. But as I get back to work and I'm getting back to more normal life, I am really struggling with pain and activity. And I've always been very active and I'm just so frustrated right now. I did a TDL and I wrote down frustrated. I felt like it was futile and I'm fearful that I'm not going to be able to get back to what I was doing before. And then on the intentional side, then I wrote encouraged and hopeful, finding activities that would be appropriate for me. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm sitting. I just am struggling with things to, yeah. So anyway, any thoughts?
Yeah. What if this is your new reality?
Yeah, I know. I'm a little worried about that.
Worried about it.
Well, because I've always been really physically active. I'm 58 years old. I've got 5 grandchildren and the oldest one is 5. And I just, you know, I've always been so excited and eager to be able to horse around with my grandkids, play with my kids. I don't necessarily have to keep up with the Joneses, but I certainly would like to be able to get up off the floor if I'm sitting down playing with them. And
no, but you want to keep up with who you think you should be.
Right. And that's kind of where
I'm of who you are is right. Exactly who you are.
Well, and that's,
you're in self-judgment about the way your body feels.
Yep. I agree 100%. I'm actually the knee injury is significant enough that I don't have much more therapy time left before they tell me I have to have it repaired. And I just think I feel physically like a failure and that's the judgment part of it.
Yeah. So how does that, I mean, that failure feels great, doesn't it?
Oh, it hurts like heck.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. You're choosing that.
I know.
You're choosing it. You are absolutely sitting in the
dirty diaper.
Body shame, dirty diaper. And it feels like crap.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I keep hoping that a little bit of weight loss will help. And I keep looking for that. And I don't know. Maybe I push the envelope when I start.
You know what's going to help? More than weight loss?
My mental game.
Yes. Changing your thought is going to help more than anything else.
Okay. So any tips?
Yeah. You have to level up that thought. So yeah. Tell me the painful thought, the one that leads you to failure. Because you gave me feelings and actions.
So my circumstance right now, I'm limiting to my knee injury because okay. I feel like if the knee was good, the back would come along. But so my thought on that was, this sucks, really limits what I can do for exercise, increase pain with anything I enjoy. And then my action, I complain and whine about it a lot. I feel like if I didn't hear my own voice, maybe I would be less judgmental, but that little devil on my shoulder doesn't go away very easily.
I'm limited to... let's see, in doing anything I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
That's your painful thought.
Yeah. Yeah, and that hurts.
Is it true? I am limited in doing anything I enjoy. Is that true?
No. But I can get in trouble in a hurry. Example being, you know, I was sitting with my grandson, 3 years old, the other day, sitting on my lap. Mm-hmm. And it was a great and comforting and wonderful sensation. But then, boom, he slid down my knee, shifted my kneecap, immediate sharp and agonizing pain. And so felt really comfortable in that scenario. And then I was limited from even getting out of the chair.
Okay.
And so it's hard to squash some of those when you get painful reminders.
Well, sure. But that's how are you going to, you can't, chair stuck. What if that's reality?
I'm going to have to start to accept it, you know. What I had put for my...
I'm not asking you to love your body. I'm not asking you to say everything is going to be fabulous. You know, I don't care if I have pain. I'll do whatever I can. I'm not asking you for rainbows and daisies here.
Yeah.
What you need to do, though, is accept where you are and stop feeling like a failure because you have knee pain and back pain.
Right.
You are who you are. And how you show up is all up to you. And if you show up feeling like a failure with the thought, I'm limited in doing anything I enjoy, then life is going to suck. And you're going to stay in that dirty diaper for a long time.
Right, right. But
if you show up with, I'm going to, you know, handle the best way I can anything that comes at me today, pain or otherwise, then your brain goes to work on how to create a day that that you enjoy,
mm-hmm.
pain or otherwise. You know, if pain is in your C line, in your model, you get to thought about it.
Yeah.
You can choose this sucks, or you get to choose this is what I work on today.
It's on repeat. My thought line for my intentional model is that I could find new ways to get activity in that I enjoy and don't hurt as much.
Mm-hmm. So what's the feeling and the action on that one?
Well, encouraged and hopeful. I think it's interesting because, boy, at the beginning of the day, I'm encouraged and I'm hopeful. And by the end of the day, the body aches have crept in and the reality has sunk in a little bit. And so, you know, it's hard. It's just hard.
What if you revisit that model 3 or 4 times a day? What's the action line of that model?
The action line for my intentional model was I was going to research the payos, the yogas, more gentle exercises, gentle stretching, that kind of stuff. So
researching is passive action. What massive action can you put in that action line?
Meditate.
How about don't beat myself up when my knee hurts?
Yeah.
How about actually doing some yoga and seeing if it works for you instead of researching it? How about revisit this model when things feel hard?
Yeah.
How about change my thought when I see failure in my feelings line?
Yeah.
Of things. You know, I think we had a girl at camp in October who had chronic pain. And her coaching that Corinne did was just incredible, you know, toward acceptance of the circumstances she had.
Okay.
Life giving, you know, given her circumstances, her pain.
Okay.
And that's where your work is. You know, you can be pissed off and upset and dirty diaper, you know, every single day. That doesn't change whether or not you're in pain.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Exactly. And sometimes I feel like I'm putting on this fake smile when, you know, just to go back to this whole pain issue. So I was moving along pretty good today at work. And the knee buckled, the back gave out, and I kind of fell onto the edge of, it's a crash cart at work.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the plastic cracked, and I thought, for goodness sakes, 58 years old, you've been, you know, I've run marathons, I've inline skated marathons, I've done very active things, and you can't even carry your weight across this floor without breaking something.
Yeah.
Underneath. And you know, that thought went immediately to the dirty diaper. It just went there.
Of course it did. That's a thought that led straight to, you know, self-loathing.
Yeah.
I hate where I am. Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, I kind of knew some of this stuff. I've listened to enough of it. I haven't really successfully ever gotten onto a coaching call where anybody can see me, but based on the kind of hair day I'm having, I'm okay with that.
The hair day you're having.
Yeah. It's been one of
Corinne's videos.
Actually, I'm growing my hair out, my bangs. My hair was cut a lot like Corinne's, and I'm growing my bangs out. I'm just going to be following her a little bit more closely these days to see how she's tolerating it, because it is hard to do.
So tell me what you're going to do when you see that thought come back in, that one that's, you know, I'll never be the same active person I am. What are you going to do?
I actually try and picture what I'm going to be when that thought, And I guess I want to tell myself I love myself as much as I would tell my friend who's hurting. You know, if I see someone hurt, that's been my job, my career, all my life, is to take care of other people when they're hurting and take care of them. But I don't take care of myself the same.
Well, that's a problem.
It is a problem.
Yeah. So why don't you?
I think it's easier to take care of others.
Why?
I don't know. I just have always done it. Even as a child, you know, you lead your brother and sister to the bus stop. It just starts that way.
Wonder if you intentionally created time to take care of yourself each day. If you would turn away so much from being so angry at your body to accepting it. We had this beautiful visual at the retreat this past weekend. This girl who talked about how she was creating acceptance of her own body by the way she cared for it. She talked about lotioning. And I kid you not, she said she would lotion up her hands and lotion every part of her body. And as she lotioned up her arms, she thought about how she loved her arms. You know, that was an act. It was an act and a thought at the same time of loving and caring for her body. As she lotioned up her back, she thought about how grateful she was for her back. She lotioned up her legs, same thing. And Corinne said, it gave me goosebumps when it really took Corinne, you know, it took her to a place where she started thinking. And she said, you know, I lotion all the time, but I never lotion my legs.
Huh.
And, you know, Corinne has done a lot of work on accepting her legs, just like I have.
Right.
For the podcast and everything. And she said, I'm going to start lotioning my legs. And thinking about how grateful I am that I have legs. And that's, yeah, it's a beautiful way to spend just a couple of minutes a day in self-care and self and learning and teaching yourself gratitude for those parts of your body as you lotion them up, as you actually touch them and rub that lotion in.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So for you, finding ways to accept and care for the body that you have is a beautiful way to start creating a new result for yourself. And
yeah,
that's where you need to go. You know, your pain may never go away. You know, right. Acceptance of that and being okay with that because you're in gratitude for what you have, it could be a beautiful thing for you.
I agree. I'm still hopeful that there will be relief in the future too, you know? So some of the things, the actions I do is I pray about it. Like I said, I've been trying to do some meditation, and I think those are other better, good ideas to help me accept where I'm at.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate your time. So thank you for putting up with the no visual.
That's all absolutely okay.
Thank you so much. I'll keep watching.
Okay, see you. Larissa, you are up. Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I have two different ideas on things I wanted to get coached on, but I think I know which one is probably the more important. In mid-November, my work schedule really changed. I know you just went through a big schedule change too. And I have had a lot more difficult time with my longer work shifts, really kind of, I kind of felt like I was finally getting like my hunger scale down and like my timing of meals and things like that figured out with my old schedule. I joined in May. And then the new schedule change, I'm working longer days now. I have a time scheduled kind of job where like I can't just snack when I feel hungry, but I'm not hungry for breakfast at 5:30 in the morning. But if I don't eat something, I can't make it to noon or 12:30. And so like I've had this like really, I know that my brain's kind of going to a negative place about it, that it's like, oh, it, you know, I have to grab this quick cookie or this quick, like, whatever little snack that's nearby because I'm not going to make it to lunchtime, or I'm not going to make it to, you know, cause I go from noon until like, I just got home. It's 7 o'clock here. So, and haven't had dinner yet. So, and then no time in the afternoon for like a snack. So when I have like 6 hour or 7 hour gaps between meals, I'm having a really hard time like limiting, especially the grab asses of eating things that aren't planned.
All right. So
because it's the convenient thing that you're walking by.
Yeah. I got a couple of things here. The first one is you do have time for snacks if you have time for grab ass.
That's true.
Okay. And the second thing is you can absolutely make it to 12. What you can't make it is for 30 days.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You just might get hungry.
Yeah.
Okay. So be careful what you tell yourself. You said twice, I'll never make it. I can't make it to 12 o'clock. What would happen if I told you that tomorrow you don't eat until lunchtime?
I did it yesterday with the hunger scale challenge. I was really hungry.
Look, you're here. You're okay. Are you pregnant?
That's the second thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, you didn't die or get pregnant because you didn't eat until 12 o'clock, right? So tell me about that yesterday. Tell me about waiting until 12 o'clock. What happened?
It was a busier morning at work. Like, it didn't have any holes in my morning. So it actually made it a little bit easier, to make it to a little bit later. I was physically very hungry, like stomach growling, for probably the last hour and a half, before I got to noon. Just because that's when my lunch break was. And it was like the minute it was like done with my last patient before noon, I was like sprinting for the fridge. But I had no questions about eating my planned packed lunch versus wanting something that might be more appealing in the cafeteria. Can you still see me?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Something popped up and I didn't see myself anymore. I was like, oh, did I get dumped? I don't know why, if it was just like, oh, just for today, it's the challenge. Like, I don't know what the thought was that kind of like made me push through that better. But
just because I'm curious, did you feel hunger come and go yesterday morning?
Earlier in the morning, yes. But that last hour and a half, like from 10:30-ish until noon, not. Really. Okay. I was physically hungry at that
time. Body was truly ready for food. What happens when it comes and goes is your body sends you a hunger signal or two, realizes that you're ignoring it. So it uses your body's stores, your fat stores.
Yeah.
It satisfies it for a little while, and then it'll ask again, and then it'll use your fat stores and satisfies it for a little while. Then it'll ask again, and then it'll finally get tired of using your fat stores and it'll go, uh-oh, I may have lost Larissa. There you are.
No, there I am, sorry.
And then it'll finally go, okay, it's time to eat. And that's what happened to you about 10:30 or 11 o'clock. It's a beautiful thing to watch. It's fascinating to watch your body do that. Now, so
if you don't get dizzy, I've got to move closer to a charging spot.
Okay. If you have time to grab ass.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you plan something grab assy? When you have time to grab ass, when you get hungry.
Okay. So I might just need to take like nuts or something, because it's usually grabbing the something that's like walk by it, grab it, throw it in your mouth kind of thing, as opposed to like, usually I'll take like a banana or something, or like an apple. And I just don't have the time to like, you know, do something that's either a little more messy or need close to a trash can and like be able to eat all of it at one time versus like chew really fast.
Right. I would pick something that you can eat, you know, fairly quickly, that you don't like eat over the course of you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, you know, don't get yourself in the habit of grabbing a little bit every time you walk by.
Okay.
You're allowed to go to the bathroom, right?
Some days it's difficult. I am allowed to, but schedule wise, it gets tight sometimes.
My point is, going to the bathroom takes 3 or 4 minutes. I bet you can take 3 or 4 minutes to have a snack. I don't know what you do.
I'm in healthcare, and it's like, you know, scheduled patients. So then I just end up potentially running behind for a little bit. But yeah,
2 or 3 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do if I were you. I would wait to eat until I'm hungry, and I would have something in my pocket or something at my desk or wherever you can grab it that is planned. That's grab ass.
Okay.
But planned, that's a snack. All right.
Yeah. A planned snack.
Right. And I wouldn't eat a lot because you want to be hungry when you go to lunch. And then when you go to lunch, make sure you eat something that includes some fats, because the fats and the proteins will help you stay satisfied longer.
Yeah, I've been conscious of that recently.
Okay.
Which this afternoon I went from, let's see, my lunch was at noon. It was probably 6:15 before I was like, okay, I'm hungry. And usually I'm home close to that time, and that's when we're cooking. Yeah. But I didn't get home till a little bit later today. And then, do you have time for me to ask you one more question?
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was you who had answered me, or if maybe Betsy had. I had posted on Ask Coaches on Saturday or Sunday. So my husband and I are actively trying to get pregnant.
Okay.
So when you're like, did you die or get pregnant? I'm like, well, I'm like, I hope I am. my other danger thought that I go to is this, like, well, if I'm going to get pregnant shortly, hopefully anyway, why am I putting forth all this effort now to lose weight if I'm just going to regain it? Wow. And
right.
I don't know if it was you or if Betsy, is somebody responded and said, like, to kind of TDL, like, answering that question for myself. And I did a TDL, and my thought was like, okay, the better thought is, you know, if I fix the mental mindset and the overeats now, that will lead to a healthier pregnancy with less weight gain, and then will also make it easier to lose weight in the long run. So how do I make that thought the more permanent one compared to, like, okay, I'm gonna just have to practice it a million times?
Yeah, when you hear the old one, you say, no, this is what I'm going to think today. You just practice it over and over. I'm going to offer you this. What better time to listen to your body and take care of what you eat than right now?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Let's see. My son is 28. Uh-huh. I had him. I gained like 40 pounds. 15 months later, I had my second son. So Jason was 5 months old when I got pregnant with Greg. I had not lost my weight at all, had not lost a bit of it. And my doctor looked at me and said, you're going to have to be careful. You don't need to put on another 40 pounds. So I was very careful about what I ate, not overeating, eating good foods, eating when I was hungry, stopping when I was full, you know, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I gained 8 pounds that pregnancy, and Greg was 8 pounds, 3 ounces.
And oh, wow.
Perfectly healthy, because I was able to dial in my eating and pay attention to what I ate and not overeat and put healthy things in my body. I created better health for myself and my baby.
Yeah. So you actually walked out of the hospital less than what you were before you got pregnant.
I was not a skinny girl. Okay.
Yeah. But still,
I was on up there in weight.
Yeah.
But that's, what better time to watch what you eat, to stop the grab-assy, you know, cookies, donuts, whatever you're grabbing fasting, to add healthy fats, to add good proteins and good clean foods, what better time than now? You know, rather than, well, I'm fixing to gain a bunch of weight, so I may as well just wait to lose it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's a lot better thought. I like that one.
Yeah. So taking care of you so that your body is A, number one, ready to carry that baby also helps you take care of that baby.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. See you later.
Uh-huh. Bye.
All right. Miranda, you are next. See if we can get your video started. There you are.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on with you tonight? Making a note.
Oh, I don't know. I just started in January, so just kind of getting the hang of this. It's my first coaching call, so.
Cool.
I seem to have a hang up with sweets. I eat way too many sweets, and I'm trying to work on that, and yeah, I'm kind of failing.
Are you planning them?
I do plan some, and then I end up eating more than I planned or something different than what I planned. And
why are you going off plan?
Good question.
That's
I don't really know. I see it and it looks good, and then I just, yeah.
You make a choice.
Yep. Yep.
Right? It's not because it looks good. It's not because you see it. It's not because somebody offers it. It's because you chose to go off plan. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first thing to always do is own up to your choices. You know, whether it's a great choice or it's a choice to go off plan, it's still your choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beautiful thing about the 24-hour plan, is that you get to make it and you get to execute it. Okay. So make sure, I'm glad you're planning the sweets. Just tell yourself, this is the plan today, right? This is, you know, I'm going to create the plan I know I'm going to execute. So make sure the plan that you're creating is realistic for you. If you plan one cookie, but you always eat three cookies, you should be planning three cookies.
Okay. Right?
If you plan one piece of cake, but you know that there's going to be two cake eating opportunities tomorrow, you got to plan both. If you know that you're going to eat cake both times, and you know, right, then you got to plan both. You have to get used to creating a plan that you can stick to, because you have to get used to success.
Okay.
If you're eating off plan every single day, all you're doing is practicing failure, and that just doesn't feel great.
No.
Right?
No, not really.
Right. So you make a plan that's entirely doable. And then you stick to the plan.
Okay.
And that feels a whole lot better.
So how do I realistically, so I plan for them and I record everything I have and I do the recovery worksheets on it. And then
let's make a plan
to how I'm going to do it different. What's that?
Let's plan tomorrow. What's tomorrow look like? What's breakfast?
I haven't even. Usually I don't eat breakfast because I get my dinner break at noon, and if I eat breakfast, then I'm not really hungry for breakfast. I don't get hungry till about 11. So I wait on breakfast
until lunch.
I have a cup of coffee with some creamer and then hang off until lunch. So I'm hungry at my lunch break.
Are you consistently hanging off until lunch, or is there any grab assing going on?
Sometimes I do, but mostly I'm busy during the morning when I get to work. So I work at a assisted living facility. So I'm off doing either I cook or I do activities. So most mornings I'm.
For lunch, what do you eat?
If I do?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it happens if there's something there at work, if I'm in the kitchen that looks good, or I'm cutting up the snack, or I don't know. Just
okay. So how often do you eat before lunch? Once a week?
Probably realistically twice, probably, yeah. Bites like of things, yeah.
Give me an example of something that you might. All right, let's say, what do you cut up for the people that you serve? Fruit?
It's probably something sweet or something dessert-like or, yeah.
Do you know what it is ahead of time?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no.
You know what it is?
More often than not, yes, I do.
Okay, what is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow, they have Jell-O, which I don't like Jell-O, so that won't be a problem for me. But okay. Yes.
Well, let's say it is. Let's say okay. Jell-O. Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to plan 3 bites of Jell-O.
Okay.
Okay. Then what's lunch?
I am not sure what I'm having for lunch tomorrow. Probably a sandwich and some fruit or something like that. I think I have.
Any chips?
No, usually after I eat the sandwich and like some fruit or something, I'm full. So.
Okay. How about after lunch? You do a snack?
Some days.
What might your snack be?
I try to take some fruit or some nuts or like some string cheese or something like that.
Okay.
With that for a snack.
Okay. Since you had fruit for lunch, I'm giving you nuts and cheese.
Okay, perfect.
How about dinner?
Dinner, I guess it's kind of whatever I put together when I get home or if my husband's home, so.
Decide now.
I think tonight I have a lean cuisine meal on my plan, so probably what I'll have tomorrow night too. So,
anything with it?
No, not usually, just that.
Okay. Does that hold you for the rest of the night, or do you need another snack?
No, I usually end up eating popcorn before bed.
All right. So this is a realistic plan for you. I know the Jell-O, you know, that's pretend.
Right.
But let's say it's not Jell-O. Let's say it's, you know, something you like, but we're going to go ahead and plan it.
Okay.
This is how I want your plan to look.
Okay.
Okay. And here's what happens. You eat your coffee or drink your coffee. It comes snack time and it's Jell-O or it's cookies or it's, I don't know, chips. I don't know. It's right. On the plan. So you get to decide whether or not you're going to eat it.
Okay.
You're not eating off plan.
Okay.
If you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't eat it, you're not eating off plan. You just decided that you're not going to have this tomorrow. That's fine.
Okay.
But if you eat it, you're still on plan. Then you get to lunch. You've planned a sandwich and a fruit. Hey, look, I'm on plan. I've had the right breakfast. I've had my snack. Lunch, I'm staying on plan. Breakfast, sandwich, and fruit.
Okay.
It's time to have the next snack. You already know what's planned, nuts and cheese. Same thing with dinner. Same thing mm-hmm. with popcorn. It's all on plan. Let's say you're not hungry right here. And you say, you know, I don't think I'm going to eat my nuts and cheese. Is that okay?
Yeah, I would say if I'm not hungry.
Absolutely. Now, let's say in a week we have the same plan. And you come, you think back to dinner this week and you say, you know what, that lean cuisine didn't hold me very long. I think I'll have a salad with it. Or I think I'll have another piece of fruit with it. Just mm-hmm. add that to the plan for the next day.
Okay.
And then maybe you decide you don't need the popcorn. Who knows? But if it's on the plan, yeah. If you eat every little thing here, you've had a successful day because you've eaten on plan.
Right.
All right. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I never really thought about putting those little kind of grab-assy things I do on there so that, yeah, it gives me that opportunity to stay on plan, but make a choice.
Here's what happens, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What your plan looks like without the snacks? And, you get to this point right here, you know, this right. morning snack, and you decide to eat off plan. That means you're reacting to something. You're either reacting to seeing the food and an urge to eat. You're reacting okay. to stress or frustration right. or something else. instead of making the conscious decision of whether or not you're going to eat that snack.
Okay.
You want to set yourself up to make deliberate, intentional decisions, not reactive decisions.
Okay.
Because if you're making a reactive decision, you're reacting to some emotion, right? Because the A line, right. The action line, is the eat. The
right.
Line is right above that, and that's the emotion. It could be urgent. It could be stressed. It could be happy. It could be whatever. But if you're eating as a reaction to that emotion, then you're not being intentional with what you're eating. Planning it all out beforehand creates intention.
Okay.
Conscious eating.
Okay. I guess I never thought about just putting those few bites of whatever on there. So
it makes a lot of sense, don't you think?
It does. I like that. Yes.
Cool.
Perfect.
So make sure you plan out the night before.
But okay. I tend to usually do it in the morning before my son gets up.
Put your snacks on there though. Especially if you're lucky enough to know what those snacks are going to be and, you know, at the place that you work and you're able to have those. Yeah. I think what I would do though, is I'd plan the number of bites. Okay. If it's a grab at something, like if you tend to nibble while you cook, always plan the number of bites you're going to nibble.
Okay.
Makes sense?
That does make sense.
I
think it was Friday night. I had messaged the Ask Coaches. I don't know who answered it. It was about the bridesmaid dress thing, and they had said maybe I should get coached on that. So I guess since we're here, if you have time or.
What's I don't remember that one, so Betsy must have answered it.
Okay. I had gone to get fitted for a bridesmaid's dress this weekend, and I found a dress and stuff, and I kind of worked through it in my head, but I was having a hard time with it because I'm a lot larger than the other bridesmaids, so it was kind of emotional for me, and I felt really self-conscious about myself and my size, and yeah.
Okay. So you're comparing yourself to someone else.
Yeah.
You think the bride compared you and said,
"No,
I don't know. Well, I don't know if we can have Miranda."
No.
Why do you?
What's that?
Why do you think you're the bridesmaid?
Because we've been friends since kindergarten. So. Mm-hmm.
Because she cares about you.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you want to show up at her wedding?
I want to be there and be supportive for her and be fully focused on whatever she needs. So not.
You want to show up being worried about how you look in your dress and compared to everybody else? Or do you want to show up because you know that she cares about you and that you, you know, want to take care of her and support her and stand up with her when she marries the man of her dreams?
Right.
Yeah,
I'd rather be that than worrying about.
sucks the joy out of the day.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I have my one set of before and afters I have are my two sons' weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the older son got married in December of 2012. And I actually met Corinne January 2013. So I was at my heaviest when Jason got married. I was at about 230. And I remember thinking, you know, mother of the groom, right? Had to look good. Right? It was all about me. Right. And I remember thinking to myself that this day wasn't about me. It was about him and about celebrating the joy of his wedding and the love that he shares with Olivia.
Right.
And putting it in that perspective really, really helped me. As I got ready that morning, you know, I put on a dress that, you know, I loved, that I thought was beautiful, even though it was a big dress. It was still very pretty. It was one I had picked out. I did my hair. I did my makeup. I decided to put myself in the mindset that the day was about celebrating the love he has for his wife. Okay. Fast forward to last February, son number two got married. I had lost all my weight. So I have these before and after mother of the groom pictures that are kind of cool. You know what? The thoughts were the same. It didn't matter how much I weighed on February 3rd of last year. What mattered is that I was there witnessing a beautiful event between two people that loved each other. So if you can kind of take your concerns about your weight and put them in a basket, okay, and set them aside and think about why you're there and what you're celebrating, that's what the day is about. Right?
Right. Absolutely.
Does that help?
That does help. I mean, yeah, I kind of had sorted through some of it because I went in there feeling really self-conscious, and there was another bridesmaid there that I guess since I'd last seen her, she'd gained a few pounds, but she still looks great. And I think she was struggling with it as well, and she actually walked out without finding something that worked for her. So I guess I see in that it doesn't matter what size you are. Everybody has their own thoughts about their body, because I would love to look like her, but she was struggling with that herself. So
did you find a dress that you liked?
I did. I found one that I felt good in, and yeah.
Yeah.
It'll work.
Look at how much more thought work you have done. I mean, sure, you want to look good, okay? You want to look beautiful, but you got to work with what you got, you know? And you have to show up in the right mindset to be the bridesmaid and to be supportive and to show love back and support back to your friend who's, you know, who obviously cares about you, or you wouldn't be the bridesmaid.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
And celebrate them that day.
Yes.
And you get to wear a super cool bridesmaid's dress.
Yeah.
What color is it?
It's kind of a coral color, so it's pretty. It's a pretty color.
When is the wedding?
It's in June, so it's June 22nd. So I got a little time before then, and I'm hoping to be down a few pounds before then, but I'm not setting a number on it because that's not the reason I'm doing this.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, that dress can be altered one way or two anytime between now and then, or it doesn't have to
right.
be. You know, the most important right. thing is how you show up.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
That helps. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else?
No, I think that's probably it for tonight. So that helps a lot. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Okay, so it is 7:30. I'm going to take Ever Be Tribe, whoever you are, and then Mary, and then we'll see how we are. I don't know who Ever Be Tribe is. We'll see. Promoting you now, though, I think. Let's see. Let's try this again. Keeps moving around. Uh-oh. Something just happened. Trying again.
Can you see me?
Yes, ma'am.
Come in here. I am Tanea.
Tanea.
I'm the one that Corinne keeps mispronouncing my name, so I wrote it in parentheses. This is how you pronounce it.
Did it work?
It did. She totally said it on one of her lives, I think last week.
That's awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
What a beautiful name. Everbee
Tribe is, before I joined P&P Tribe, Everbee is my new last name. And so that's where that came from. It's a name I gave myself. This weekend, I am a brand new New Year's baby.
Mm-hmm.
And this weekend, so Friday, I went out with a friend, and then we ended up at we went to a concert and then ended up at a friend's house where there was lots of alcohol, and I completely blew my plan.
Okay.
By a lot. There was cheesecake involved. There was lots of alcohol involved.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't pretty. I woke up Saturday morning and the spiral continued for the, like, literally the entire weekend. I got back on my plan this morning because I went back to work. And so I keep struggling, and this is not the first weekend where I'm like, well, I'm off plan, and then I make that next good decision, but I'm not actually writing down the plan. And I haven't, I keep seeing these, the models, and I haven't gone through that module yet. Okay. So I don't know how to do that.
No, that's going off plan doesn't, I mean, we could do models about it, but what we need to address is why you don't create a weekend plan, why you don't follow a weekend plan, and why you think going back to work puts you back on plan.
Yes.
That's what we need to talk about. So the first thing, let's talk about going back to work. That doesn't make the plan easier. It just means you made a decision to go back on plan.
Okay.
Did you create a plan last night for today?
No, I create them in the morning.
Okay. Did you create a plan this morning for today?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually had a new one because I ran out of pages.
Okay. You can create a plan on a notebook like this. You can create a plan on a post-it note. You can create a plan on your phone. You don't have to have a notebook page, right? You can create a plan. I just created a plan on a whiteboard, right? You can create a plan anywhere. You just can't keep it in your head.
Right.
Okay. So yes. You made the choice this morning to get up and create a plan for today. That's a beautiful thing. You know, I mean, how many times, how many diets have you been on? You go off plan and you're just done, right?
Right. So,
you know, kudos for going back on plan this morning, for making that decision. Now, why didn't you make the decision yesterday morning to go back on plan?
Oh, because I knew there was all-you-can-eat pancakes.
All right, so why didn't you write that? Why didn't you write a plan with all-you-can-eat pancakes for breakfast?
Because I didn't want to write it down.
Right. So you didn't write it down. So you didn't have a plan.
You ate, though. I did take a picture of it.
But you didn't have a plan.
Mm-mm.
All right. So what would have been wrong with putting all-you-can-eat pancakes on the plane?
Nothing.
Right. What was lunch yesterday?
Huh?
What was lunch yesterday?
I didn't eat lunch. I felt so sick
after
pancakes. I actually slept for 4 hours because I couldn't move my body. It was miserable.
Okay. So what about dinner?
I had 6 boneless chicken wing bites and that was it. I couldn't eat anymore.
All right. So if you had planned yesterday, let's just take you back to yesterday before all you can eat pancakes and you had written a plan and breakfast said all you can eat pancakes. What would lunch and dinner have said?
Well, I thought I had lunch planned in my head, and that was BLTs with my son.
It was what?
That was BLTs with my son, bacon, lettuce, just a toasted sandwich.
Okay, and what would dinner have been?
And then dinner was a chicken and zucchini skillet that I didn't make because I didn't go grocery shopping because my stomach hurt so bad.
Okay.
It was like a domino effect of bad things because I couldn't move my body.
Okay.
And the guilt and the frustration and the anger and the why do I always do this thoughts just compiled and then toppled on top of each other. And then I just went to bed in tears.
All right. So if you had put all you can eat pancakes on your plan and you had gone to the all you can eat place and overeaten, would you have still felt the guilt and the shame and the whatever? Or would you have said, well, maybe I won't make that plan again?
I'm trying to think. I've not actually wrote that down before, so I don't know what I would say.
So here's the thing. I was telling someone earlier, who was it? About making the plan, maybe Maggie, that when you put it on the plan, then the decision to eat it becomes a conscious decision, not a decision because I don't have a plan so I can get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
Not a decision that says, well, I'll plan tomorrow. You know, this is an exception. I'm not going to worry about this. You know, that's when the self-judgment starts.
Mm-hmm.
When you start saying, well, it's not on the plan, so I'm just going to go ahead and eat what I want. That's when the self-judgment starts. if you had put all I can eat pancakes on the plan and got into it saying, yep, it's all you can eat pancake day, you might have regretted overeating, but you wouldn't have compounded that with eating off plan or not having a plan. And that's where, you know, that's where the self-judgment just compounds and multiplies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is why we don't plan, so we can make conscious decisions about our eating. We've already made the plan. If we don't stick to the plan, it's a decision to go off plan. It's not a reactive decision to, I think I'll just grab this or whatever. It's a conscious decision.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay on plan, it's also a conscious decision, right? Not a reactive decision. You want to stay as conscious and intentional with your eating as you absolutely can, because that allows you to take ownership of all the great decisions and all the decisions you want to make changes to.
Right.
All right. And taking ownership is a beautiful thing. That's where the magic happens, because then you feel the control. All right. So this coming weekend, what are we, Tuesday?
Yes.
What's coming up this weekend for you?
Hold on 1 second. Let me find out.
Okay. You just turned your,
I'm looking at the, my calendar.
Okay.
All right. Am I back?
Yep.
Okay. So Saturday, I have a Harry Potter party with my daughter.
Okay.
So they've got like all of the, I don't know, the super juices or stuff. It's got all of the weird foods that I'm not even sure I want to eat. And then the Blazer game. So I'm on the West Coast up in Portland, well, Salem. And so I have the Blazer game. And I went to a Blazer game last Friday and actually researched the restaurant that we wanted to go to, Frank's Noodle House, planned my meal, like Corinne said, and was able to write down. And so I didn't even need a menu. I didn't even ask for the menu because I knew what I was having. And so it proved, and then I didn't eat it all because I was eating with chopsticks and it was so much slower. But, I was getting full before my plate got finished.
Yeah.
Because it took me 40 minutes.
Do you see how that conscious decision ahead of time enabled you to stay on plan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I didn't even eat it all.
Okay. So, you know, on Saturday, you're going to have weird Harry Potter food on your plan and Harry Potter juices, and you're going to have whatever you plan for dinner on your plan, right?
Yep.
All right. So what's Sunday?
Sunday, I have church in the morning, and then I am bringing the snacks. And so I'm doing a spin on nachos and doing apple nachos.
Ooh.
So it's thinly sliced apples with a drizzle of caramel and chocolate sauce, but then nuts and coconut shavings and
yogurt
bites.
I'm coming. That sounds good.
So I actually get we have snacks for our community group. We have snacks every week and they're always different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying when I'm at Synergy and I have a plan, I try to make sure that I bring my own snack so that I'm not eating whatever grab-assy thing is on the table, because we've got some bakers in my group and they bake some freaking amazing things that I didn't plan for.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stay away from that side of the room entirely.
But you could plan for them ahead of time if you wanted to.
So, okay. What do I write then? Cause I don't know what is going to be there.
Then you give yourself options. Let's say it's one slice of cake or two cookies or whatever, you know, one serving of whatever they bring.
Okay.
I mean, just because you don't know doesn't mean you can't plan. You know, you can say, you can give yourself options. If it's pie, I'll have a 2-inch slice. If it's cookies, I'll have 3 cookies. If it's ice cream, I'll have one scoop. You know, you can give yourself those kinds of options if you want.
Okay, I can do that.
That also helps keep you on plan, because what if you walk in there and it's apple nachos and you love apple nachos? You're going to be either over in the corner really pissed off because you didn't plan apple nachos, or you've got them on the plan. You can have a little bit and enjoy them and not feel restricted.
Right. Yes. And I think now that I'm thinking as you're talking, my weekends don't have as much structure as my work week. So I have a little less control over exactly what's presented to me on the weekends than I do during the week.
But you have 100% control over your plan.
Yes. Which is why I don't make them on the weekends.
No. That's not why you don't make them on the weekends. You make them on the weekends because you've decided you want to be spontaneous and you don't want to stick to a plan.
Yes.
Damn it, Kathy.
Get out of my head.
Look, I'm going to tell y'all, there is nothing you can bring to me that I don't get because I did it. Okay.
Right. And then I don't have anything else on the schedule. So I try to leave Sundays very open for a potential, like if I'm at church and I'm connecting with someone and they're going through a hard time, then, you know, I either invite them over for dinner or we'll go out for coffee or we'll do lunch together. And so Sunday stays my very open day. I have something planned like to eat at home if I don't have anybody that needs me, but.
Okay. So you have your plan for home. Right. And then if you need to go out, you make your best choice. You say protein and vegetables or sandwich and fruit or, you know, anticipate where you usually go and just make a real vague best choice kind of, you know, good, better, best to my two.
When I'm doing the plan, see, and this is my perfectionist talking. I am a recovering perfectionist. I am the one that quit college the first time I got a B. I know. That was in 2012. So I've had 7 years of pretty intense therapy and counseling over the unrealistic expectations and ideations I have of myself. Mm-hmm. And I also know where a lot of those come from.
Okay. So back to Saturday, Sunday afternoon's plan.
So can I like draw a line down the middle of my lunch and dinner plans and do like an at-home option and then a potential not necessary, like a vague eating out option?
Absolutely. If that is how your life runs on Sundays, that you don't know really if you're going to be home or out, depending on, you know, what's needed for the day, you can absolutely do that.
Okay. I will do that.
Yep. When you're out, just make sure your plan says you eat to your two and either plans the type of food you're going to eat, or it says I'll make the best choice and eat to my two. That's the conscious decision ahead of time.
Right.
You show up if it's the pizza place, you make the best choice at the pizza place, which might be the thin crust vegetable pizza rather than the thick crust all meat pizza or something. I don't know. Mm. Okay.
Okay.
You got it? I want to see you planning this weekend.
Okay.
Show yourself that you can have a successful unplanned weekend.
Okay. Okay.
All right. See ya.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Mary, you're next. It's my friend Mary.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. How about you?
I'm great. Missed your camp.
Thank you. I wish I'd been there. My accountability partner was there, and she said it was wonderful.
Who is your accountability partner?
Dee Dee Moore.
Dee Dee, yes.
Yeah. So
yeah.
She had was great.
Yeah.
The reason I'm bothering you tonight is I can't get myself to exercise, and I know it's not anything to do with weight loss, but I'm terribly out of shape, and about all I can manage is about 5 minutes of walking, but I can't get myself to do it.
Why not? Why not?
I'm embarrassed and ashamed that I'm at this point, and I'm afraid somebody will see me out there walking my half block.
Mm-hmm. So what if they do? Do you know what they're thinking when they see you?
I know what I think they're thinking.
Uh-huh. You've given them a whole busload of thoughts, I'm sure.
I know.
Do you really know what they're thinking? What if they're thinking, oh my God, look at Mary, she's walking. I'm so happy to see her out. Hi, Mary.
Okay, that's not one of the things I was thinking.
That's probably what I'd be thinking. If I was your neighbor, I'd be like, hey.
Yeah. Okay, I can try and think of that.
Well, here's the point. It doesn't matter what they're thinking. What matters is what you're thinking.
Right.
Okay? And if you put 5 minutes of walking on your plan, and you know that that is, you know, what you want to do, you come back in and sit down after 5 minutes of walking, how you going to feel? You're going to feel pretty darn good. I did my
thing. Yeah. Well, I'm going to think, thank God it's over with, will be my initial reaction. But
yeah, but then you're going to know you can check mark that
I did
plan.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And let's say for 2 weeks you walk for 5 minutes, you're going to try six after that.
Yeah.
And then you might try eight. Right?
Right.
And before you know it, you know, you're feeling pretty good about getting out and walking. Besides, you're getting sunshine when you get out.
Yeah.
You get out of the house, you get fresh air. There's a lot of great reasons to walk for 5 minutes, especially this time of year.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Where do you live?
Houston.
Houston. So it's not, it's not as cold down there.
Oh, no, not anywhere as bad.
No.
Guys. Yeah.
But it's still nice to get 5 minutes of sunshine every day.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Well, I'll give it that shot.
No.
No, I will do it.
When are you going to do it?
I'll do it tomorrow.
What time?
I have an appointment in the morning, so 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes.
Minutes. Sun's going to be high. 5 minutes of walking.
5 minutes of walking.
Everybody you see, you're going to wave at and go, good morning, good afternoon. Hi, that's my walk.
My 5 minute walk. Okay, I will do
5 minute walk is better than sitting on the couch. So don't make
fun of
5 minute walk.
Which is what I've been doing. So.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And you're going to smile and wave at everybody you see, and you're going to spread some sunshine.
All right, I will spread sunshine. Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
All right. Good to see
you.
Take care.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Okay, one more person. Brooke. It is your turn. Let's see what you got.
Here we go.
Hi. Brooke, are you there? You are either frozen or on a bad connection. I'm going to try.
Oh. Gosh, I can't hear it all.
I hear you. Do you hear me?
Oh, you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can't see you anymore. Let's try this. Uh-oh, what happened? Brooke, come back to me.
We there?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
What the heck is going on? I'm in my car, but it's off and I'm not driving.
Okay. Let me try turning on your video. Oh, there you are.
There I am?
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
What you want to talk about? I think you just went away.
I guess.
Hang on. Brooke, I think you have a super bad connection.
And also recovery worksheets.
Okay.
I am struggling with that because...
Okay, Brooke.
Hello.
Brooke, are you there? Okay, I think we've lost Brooke. I'm not sure what's going on here. I think she's in a bad zone in her car or something.
I'm not working very well.
Okay. You're back.
Am I back?
Yeah, but you have a super bad connection.
Sorry. Maybe I will try this at the next office hours when I have a little bit better connection.
Okay. Betsy is back at, or maybe it's me. One of us is back at noon on Saturday. So please come back. Okay. Or if you want to type your question in the Q&A okay. real quick.
All right.
Okay. See ya.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. You want to come say hi? All right, as we wrap up, ladies, I have a special guest.
Hi, everybody.
I wonder if she's been listening in the other room. What do y'all think?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And answering some ask coaches tonight and getting into the Facebook groups a little bit. So, but I am doing office hours on Saturday.
Yes, Brooke, please come back.
Yes,
on Saturday back. With a better connection.
Yes.
That would be
yes.
fabulous because we want to see everyone. Oh, there you are. Let's try one more time,
okay.
Brooke, and see if you're
right.
there. You can
Bye.
Stay if you want.
Okay.
Well, maybe we'll tag team Brooke.
Ooh.
See if she's on.
How's this?
That might be better. Look, you have both of us.
Ta-da! Hooray! That's exciting. Awfully exciting.
So what? All right.
Okay.
Started to say something about recovery worksheets.
Yes, recovery worksheets. So my struggle is that two things. I'm grab assing and not caring a whole lot about it. And I'm like, well, it's fine. I'll just do a recovery worksheet.
Oh.
And it's not the recovery worksheet should be a punishment, but it's that I write something out and it's just sort of like lifeless, if that makes sense. It's like I write something and I don't really think that hard about it or feel a whole lot about it.
Just paying it lip service.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the short answer is I just need to not pay it lip service and take it a little bit more seriously.
Yeah.
And I just maybe don't know the first step to do that.
Well, my question is, what are you answering that last question on the worksheet is, what will I do differently next time?
My standard response is, I'll make it part of my plan for the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sometimes I've done that, but then I feel a little bit of guilt about, like, why am I putting 3 cookies or whatever it is on my plan? And I guess that's just part of meeting myself where I'm at. Where I'm at is someone who grab asses, you know, at certain times or whatever. And so it's kind of like, I guess I've got a case of the shoulds, right? So I shouldn't be putting this on my plan.
Well, a grab ass is a reaction.
Right.
Reactionary choice. Oh, look, there's a cookie. Or I'm stressed. I'll have a cookie. All right. If you put it on the plan, it becomes a conscious choice to eat it. All right. Look, I've got cookies on my plan. I get to decide whether or not I'm going to eat them.
Right.
You always, I think I've said this. I don't know if you've been on the call the whole time, but I think this is the third time I've said this, right?
Right.
And it applies. I want everybody to hear this. The conscious eating decisions are the ones that are the most valuable. That's where you want to go. You want to move as many reactionary decisions when you're eating to conscious decisions. And that's why you put them on the plan. So if you're grab-assing those cookies at snack time, they absolutely need to go on the plan so that you can decide whether or not you want them. Not say, not react to them being around. Okay? Once you just make those decisions and you take ownership of those decisions, then you begin to see where you need to up-level your plans.
Got it. And how can I make my recovery worksheets a little bit more beneficial?
You take them seriously.
Yeah.
You know, we had camp this weekend. I'm going to tell Mary Jo's story. Mm-hmm. Mary Jo walked in. She goes, I'm going to have a glass of wine. I didn't plan it. I'm just going to put it on my recovery worksheet. And Betsy goes, oh, no, you're not. Mary Jo's like, you don't use the recovery worksheet as an excuse to eat.
Against yourself.
Against yourself.
And that's exactly, I guess, where I've been is I'm like, I mean, I've got this most phenomenal accountability group and one of them was doing, sent a polo and I was watching it and she was talking about doing a recovery worksheet for the nuts that she had grab-assed at lunch as I'm literally like putting a handful of cheese in my mouth. And I was like, no, I'll just do a recovery worksheet. And I know they shouldn't be punishment. I know that it's thought work, but I just feel like maybe I'm not writing the right things in that very last question.
Just take it. Just when you do a recovery worksheet, make sure you think about the plan for the next time. Okay. And think about why did I actually eat this?
Right.
Okay. And then you guys need to save your recovery worksheets. You need to create a stack somewhere in your kitchen or in your house somewhere so that you can see those things add up. And you see, man, you know what? I'm doing a lot of recovery worksheets. Wonder what's up with this. And then you start going back and you look at patterns. Okay. Maybe you see grab-assing. Maybe you see thoughts. Maybe you see a specific feeling that you're always grab-assing in response to. That's where the work is. If you do those recovery worksheets with intention, on purpose, because they have a purpose, not as an excuse to eat,
right,
then you begin to see where the overeating is coming up.
I don't know about you, but my time is valuable. And I want every worksheet, everything I do to help me, right?
Sure.
And if you're not being honest on your worksheet or you're not actually applying what you're learning from the worksheet, it's a waste of time, right? And so you're going to have a stack of sheets. And that's a lot of time that's added up on that sheet, on that worksheets that hasn't helped you any.
And a lot of cookies that you're storing on your hips now because you've decided you can just do this worksheet when you feel like it.
Right. What I do is I date them and I have them in my binder because I'm kind of interested to see like, well, first of all, so I'm a September baby and I literally just did my first one, I think on January 4th, which I should be embarrassed to say, but it is what it is.
At least you start doing them.
Yeah. Right. And so like in dating them, I found it interesting to see how many I did, how often, and most of it was just things that I hadn't planned or making a better plan. And I think I just need to be a bit more realistic about meeting myself where I'm at as far as grab-assing and treats. And I think you were talking to Miranda two calls ago about when you wiped out her snacks on her daily plan, you pointed out that when she grab-asses at those times, it's a reaction to either seeing the food or an emotion or something. Mm-hmm. And that really struck me and stuck out to me. So I think that I need to put a little thought work into that too. Most of it, my answer to almost everything is the thought, you know, when you didn't resist, my answer to everything is because I wanted it. And I know that that's an entitlement. And
ask yourself why you wanted it. Don't just stop there with because I wanted it.
Because I said so, that's why.
You know,
and that's exactly it.
Yeah, that's the easy answer.
Right. And none of my answers are deep enough. It's like, okay, well, I answered it. I can move on to the next one.
Did you have a grab ass today?
No, I didn't.
You have one yesterday?
Yes, a cookie. Okay.
Tell me about it.
I was home for the weekend in Tucson. I went to visit my mom and she makes the most amazing Mexican wedding cookies and she makes them at the holidays and she made me like 3 dozen because I wasn't home for the holidays. And so I brought them home with me. So now I've got like 2.5 dozen of these cookies sitting on my counter. So I got 4 of them yesterday.
You want to sit there and look at 2.5 dozen cookies on your counter, or do you want to plan
a
couple every day and decide if you want to eat them?
I think I want to take them to work and give them away so that I don't eat them.
Well, that's a choice.
But it's all conscious, right? Mm-hmm. All of this is conscious decision making.
Totally. Like I took 4 last night and I ate 1 and I was like, I'm full. What am I doing? And I was, you know, I was glad that I put them back. But again, now I've got all these cookies sitting there. And my reason was, well, because my mom made them for me. I haven't treated myself to much lately and I wanted one.
There's the justification. It's not just I wanted one. I haven't treated myself lately. I deserve this.
Totally. And I mean, really, like I can rationalize anything in my own head.
We all can. You're not.
I'm an only child. I can master that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I think I just need to put a little bit more thought work and then maybe do more than a one liner on my recovery sheets.
Yeah. And create a realistic plan.
Save a few cookies for myself and take the rest to work, get them out of the house.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. If that's a decision you want to make, nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for hanging in there with me with my technical difficulties.
You're very welcome. I'm glad you got on.
Me too. Have a great night. Thanks again.
Bye. See ya.
Bye.
All right, everybody. Bye. That's it. You guys have a great evening and come see Betsy. If you didn't get on this call, come see her at noon on Saturday, right?
Yes. I'm just looking at the chat.
Are you looking at the chat?
Yes.
Looks like Becky got challenged to post 20 reasons why she now was exactly the right time for her to lose her weight. Mm-hmm. And it looks like she got 21. Proud of you, Becky. I bet that feels pretty good. Oh, there's Q&A real quick. Let's see what's in here. Okay. We got Brooke. It was her.
Okay.
All right. You guys have a great evening.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Saturday.